a roundup of the main business news from China and elsewhere. This is Global Business.
Coming up on Global Business, development momentum. China's agricultural sector sustains strong growth, powering rural economy in the first quarter. Steady upswing. Bullion prices post fifth consecutive weekly price increase as heightened political uncertainty boosts demand. Revving up the excitement, Formula One makes a triumphant return to China, reigniting the thrill of racing for the first time since 2019. Hello there, this is Global Business. I'm Xia Cheng in Beijing. First up, China's agricultural and rural economy maintained steady momentum in the first quarter of this year. At a news conference on Friday, Zhen Yande, Director General of the Department of Development and Planning of the Ministry of Agriculture and Rural Affairs, said 20% of the country's spring grain sowing has been completed so far. They added value of the agricultural and sideline food processing industry above the designated scale steadily increased by 3.3% year-on-year from January to March. Key food supplies like pork, vegetables, and fruits remained stable. Additionally, notable progress was made in poverty alleviation efforts. Take a listen.
From January to March, an additional 20.48 billion yuan of microcredit was issued to people who have been lifted out of poverty, benefiting more than 462,000 households. A campaign focusing on employment and preventing people from returning to poverty has also been launched. And as of the end of March, 30.487 million people who have been lifted out of poverty were employed, reaching the annual work target.
Well, recent data indicates that the agricultural sector played a significant role in driving overall economic growth in the first quarter. The Purchasing Managers Index for leading industrialized agricultural firms in China stood at 56.5%, well above the 50% mark that separates contraction and expansion, and also higher than the country's manufacturing and composite PMI. Additionally, these businesses helped bolster farmers' income, with per capita disposable income among rural residents jumping 7.7% year over year in the first quarter, outpacing overall growth and that among urban residents. And for more analysis on China's agricultural and rural economy, I'd like to bring in Chen Jiahe, Chief Investment Officer of Novan RK Technologies. Hello, Jiahe. So what are the key developments in China's agriculture during QI?
Well, from the statistics that is published today, China's agriculture attained steady growth in the first quarter. For example, the growing of grain crops is steady and better than last year. The production of meat increased by 1.4% compared with 1 year ago. The production of eggs increased by 1.5%, and milk production increased by over 5%. Meanwhile, for the overall agriculture, the value adding increased by 3.8%, and for the value adding of the food processing industry, it grew by 3.3%. The PMI index of leading agricultural companies was 56.5 points in the match, far above the threshold of 50, as you just mentioned. So from all this data combined, we can see that the agriculture has been growing steadily in the first quarter of this year.
Well, help us understand how high-quality productive forces can, increase China's food security.
It's a vital thing for China, as we have 1.4 billion people to feed. And to improve the food security, the new and high-quality productive forces can do a large amount of culture. Name a few examples. First of all, the satellite and intelligent weather prediction program can help the agriculture industry to better prepare for its work. Intelligent machinery used in agriculture can save the human labor by a very large extent. For example, the fruit harvesting machine can save a lot of work for the farmers. The improvement with pesticide can lift the production while leaving less harm to the farmland. Also, the employment of new energy in farms, especially the solar power, can reduce the cost of electricity used in agriculture. There are many, many detailed works that we can do.
Well, what strategies can the government employ to drive the rural economy?
Development of rural area and the growing of rural economy can find support from many ways. For example, encourage funds and capital to fund investment projects in the rural economy can be very useful. The investment in areas such as modern agriculture, tourism can be quite profitable. The talent is also vital. Introducing more university graduates and scientists to work in the rural economy can help the rural GDP a lot. Also, the government has been working very hard in recent years with the investment in the rural area, which include a lot of infrastructure, but also many things with the living standard of rural people. I have been personally surprised by how much the houses and roads been changed in the rural areas in the past few years.
Well, how to better incorporate the rural economy into China's supply chain? Because we know rural tourism is expanding, live streaming of agricultural products is also expanding. Anything else we can do?
That is the path for the rural economy, other tourism, agriculture. And with the technology today, such as social media, live streaming, delivery network, modern transportation system, these industries can be well expanded into areas that were not possible before. Take the tourism, for example. The live streaming short video today enable the people living in the rural area to introduce their countryside viewing to the people in the cities, especially the nearby city. Therefore, with the rising ownership of cars and even caravans, more and more urban people now choose to spend their weekends in the rural area so as to enjoy the natural viewing. On the other hand, the delivery network also helps the selling of agriculture products. In the old time, farmers can only sell their products to the wholesalers at a lower price. They don't have enough time and energy to sell directly to the consumers. But now with the delivery network being spread all over the country, many farmers can sell directly to urban consumers, and they can also make their own advertisement just by using the social media. So this has been a big change compared with a decade ago.
Okay, thank you so much for your insights. Shen Jiahe, Chief Investment Officer of Norman RK Technologies. And in China, rapid advancements in high-tech and innovation are driving the country's urban development. However, in numerous rural regions, a distinct form of ingenuity is fueling economic growth. Sean Caleb's reports from rural Sichuan province.
Everywhere you look, it's simply calm and serene. It is this relaxed atmosphere that brings legions of tourists to Zhongzhou County, about an hour and a half drive from the nearest major city of Chengdu.
The excellent air quality and pleasant environment makes this place worth exploring on foot. The warm hospitality here is highly commendable, and we all find it truly delightful.
This place is a crucible of China's cultural history, all laid out in this county to make tourists feel at home. If the 7,700 residents of this county can't turn back time, they at least hope to stop the clock for a while. Wang Mingming is the sales manager for this brewery. Just one look tells you the strong rice wine, baijiu, is crafted in an ancient fashion. It's part of the draw that lures tourists to this site. The recipe is handed down from the year 1173, said to be created by local legend poet Lu You by incorporating some 33 different Chinese medicinal herbs. And tourists are drinking it in.
The area around the distillery is being developed into a tourist attraction because this distillery is the largest and has the most complete preservation infrastructure among the 18 distilleries in the village.
They are planning a costly and elaborate expansion of baijiu production in the hope of dramatically boosting the number of tourists to visit this site. For those looking for something a little less potent than baijiu, tea is big business in this rural enclave as well. White, green, and more popular in the colder months, red and black.
Drinking tea is beneficial for our bodies, then integrating it into various aspects of our lives, such as our wine, honey, and diet, can contribute to a healthier lifestyle for everyone.
Many local farmers now lease their land for tea production. The tea is sold not only here, but all over China. Locals make money by owning shares in this government-private cooperative. Right now, the county sees about 500 tourists per day, but is hoping for a dramatic jump in numbers to as many as 10,000.
You can see how our villagers are now involved in the catering and homestay business, resulting in significant income growth. This spring, our flower-filled hot pot and flower-filled banquets have generated substantial income.
That's right, an absolute must in Sichuan. The hot pot is also steaming its way into adding to the county's finances.
Even the casual observer knows that here in Sichuan Province, that means it's going to be spicy. Looking forward to it.
The county now uses these tents for pop-up meals. On weekends, it's just hard to find a seat.
We collaborated with a local cooperative to develop this project, which is also a pilot initiative. If the project operates effectively, we then plan to expand it extensively in Chongzhou in the future.
And they are pulling out all the stops: beef artery, spicy beef, sweet sausage, shrimp paste, and duck intestines. It could also be the sound of money. Above all, the goal is to improve the lives of the locals with what's being called a livable and business-friendly rural area. Sean Caleb, CGTN, Chongzhou County, Sichuan Province.
Coming up on Global Business. Steady upswing, bullion prices post fifth consecutive weekly price increase as heightened political uncertainty boosts demand.
The world economy as we know it is about to change. Global Business Reports highlight emerging markets, developing countries, and dynamic sectors worldwide. We feature top analysts and newsmakers to provide perspectives on every facet of business. From an on-the-ground perspective, we provide you with balanced and objective assessments. Fast, sharp, and insightful. Global Business. Only on CGTN.
Turning to the commodity market, where gold prices are heading for their fifth consecutive weekly gain on Friday. Spot gold futures were trading near $2,400 per ounce in New York and around $2,380 rather per ounce in London. Prices are inching towards last Friday's all-time highs as we speak. Gold prices experienced mild adjustments on Wednesday, but were soon back on the rise as political tensions in the Middle East escalated, which drove more investment into safe haven assets. Gold prices are rising so fast that the metal is now attracting ordinary retail buyers, not at the futures market, but at supermarkets. Our Washington, D.C. Bureau earlier talked to market analysts about why American consumers are rushing to buy gold bars at Costco.
Well, the average gold investor does not want to own an ETF. He does not want to own anything paper. He wants to own the physical product. He wants to own bullion, because when the going gets really tough, when geopolitics get really tense, the investor is not going to want to rely on his computer to show him how much gold he has in an ETF. He wants that physical bullion in his safe. And so the Costco sales are probably going to continue to climb. Investors, safe haven demand is based on owning the physical product that you can hold in your hands. Like I said, the typical investor in gold is someone who is a little bit conservative. He wants to own something he can hold in his hands if the going gets really tough, if infrastructure gets in peril, if the internet or if computers are not, you know, safe to or perceived to be safe to use, if we get into some kind of really serious geopolitical situation. Those are the guys that want to hold the physical product and do not want to rely on, again, on anything that is notifying them on a computer or via the internet, because that when times get really tough, those communication elements are called into question.
Finance leaders from around the world are continuing the spring meetings of the International Monetary Fund and World Bank in Washington. Participants say China will play a crucial role in global growth in the coming years. CGTN's Jim Spellman reports.
The global economy has been resilient despite recent challenges from the pandemic, military conflicts in Ukraine and Gaza, and global inflation.
Despite these multiple shocks and tight financial conditions, growth is firmly in positive territory, and we have slightly upgraded our forecast for this year to 3.2%.
Asia, and particularly China, will play a large role in global growth in the years ahead, according to IMF projections. Despite lingering concerns, largely centered around the real estate sector, China's first quarter GDP growth came in higher than projected.
China's GDP grew by 5.3% in the first quarter of 2024 amid a broad-based expansion. The outturn was higher than what staff had projected and also what market had projected. So any upside to Chinese growth will have a bearing on countries in Asia. In general, the region will continue to do better when China grows faster.
The IMF is closely observing policy reforms underway in China. CGTN's Wang Xiaozhou asked the IMF's managing director about her recent trip to China.
I'd love to know more about your takeaways from that trip and also from your firsthand experience and observations. How you think China can hit its growth target this year?
I had an opportunity to visit China and discuss with Chinese leadership how they think about growth prospects for the country. Number one, to shift the economy more towards domestic consumption. It is actually in line with what China is aspiring, the dual circulation economy. Secondly, we see the reforms in China that have served the country well continuing to be needed. Reforms of state-owned enterprises, opening up for more competitive environment.
Threats to the global economy remain, including potential increases in protectionist trade policies and the risk that geopolitical tensions between China and the U.S. could lead to a fragmentation between the world's two largest economies. Economists here at the IMF say such a fragmentation could create a drag on the entire global economy. Jim Spellman, CGTN, Washington.
Pierre-Olivier Gringes, chief economist of the International Monetary Fund, emphasized the significance of a strong multilateral trade system for the driving economic growth. He warned against the detrimental impact of tit-for-tat restrictions on the global economy and called for a rules-based trading environment that fosters growth and prosperity.
I think it's very important that we have a strong multilateral system that implements rules of the road for trading relations and capital flows relations and more generally for cooperation. And here I think what we are seeing, we've seen for a number of years now, but we're seeing, in a sense, we see some escalation in that space, is a rising number of measures are taken by countries that can potentially distort trade. And so we see that when we look at China, we see that when we look at other countries. And the concern here is that this will lead to geo-economic fragmentation. I mean, we see that when countries implement measures that could be trade restrictive, then their trading partners are likely to retaliate by taking measures that will in turn be distorting trade against the initial country. And so you can get into this tit-for-tat dynamics that is very bad for the global economy. And so we really want to encourage the development of a multilateral system that is based on, for instance, World Trade Organization rules. So we would certainly call for reinstituting the WTO and its appellate body, for instance, so that we could have a trading environment that is rules-based and that is conducive to growth and prosperity. And right now, our concern is that many countries, again, are choosing a different path.
Moving on to some other headlines around the world. Japan's core inflation rate slowed to 2.6% in March, down from 2.8% in February. Additionally, the index, excluding fresh food and energy costs, dipped below 3% for the first time since November last year. Indonesian Central Bank has initiated a triple intervention in the market in response to the rupiah weakening by as much as 0.7% on Friday. The bank stated that this move represents a bolder attempt to uphold market confidence. Meanwhile, retail sales in the UK remained stagnant in March, showing no growth following a revised mild increase of 0.1% in February. Analysts expressed disappointment, noting that the figures did not reflect the anticipated recovery in spending despite lower inflation and the national insurance cut. Welcome back. The upcoming return of the Formula One Grand Prix to China after a hiatus since 2019 is sparking excitement. This aligns with China's efforts to expand its automotive aftermarket and promote sporting events like the Formula One, coinciding with the country's increasing car ownership. Last year, policymakers, including the Commerce Ministry, expressed their support for more car racing events at both the international and domestic levels. This proposal received backing from China's leading automaker, Geely, whose CEO suggested the inclusion of racetrack operators in an expanded tax refund program enjoyed by sports venues. Additionally, China aims to see a rise in the number of tracks for other car-related sporting events, such as karting for entertainment, with a focus on participants using new energy vehicles. China's first-ever Formula One driver, Zhou Guanyu, will race this weekend on his home turf, while another homegrown tech company in China, SenseTime, is considering to spice things up by introducing AI to the kind of sport that races for top speed and requires the clearest mind in a two-hour-long sprint. Our Zhang Shixuan finds out how AI has helped with Zhou's preparation for the Prix.
It's been 20 years. I can finally race in my hometown to hit new limit of the car and myself.
He's China's first ever Formula One race driver, Zhou Guanyu.
It's extremely difficult.
As the clock ticks towards the Formula One Chinese Grand Prix, excitement is building in a host city, Shanghai.
AI can give more supportive advice beyond humans' abilities.
Li is CEO of China's AI giant SenseTime.
Hang on a second. We know they're both experts in their own fields, but what do a computer scientist and a racing driver have in common? First, watch this. That thing flashing past was a racing car from F1 team Kickstarter. Let's go back and pause here. Like all the other racing cars, decorated in different color livery and sponsor logos. Zoom in, here's SenseTime, the Chinese AI giant.
If the automobile technology should be spread to every household, we have to first have our tech applied to the fastest car,
that is F1.
And that's where we find the link between motor racing and AI.
Tech is important to our performance.
That comment came with the AI applications Joe's seen in his professional life.
The conversation through a radio, for example, can have a 10-second delay, and sometimes people cannot understand or ignore the messages. That extends the delay to 30 or 60 seconds. With AI, the message can be delivered to engineers within 10 or 15 seconds.
10秒, 15秒, 直接可以传达到工程师当中。
AI can help us design different aerodynamics in a shorter period of time. Time is very precious to motor racing, and you can develop more new components in shorter period of time. New aerodynamics allow us to better upgrade our cars. Most racing car simulators now are just 70 to 80% accurate. I hope in the following years, with the help of AI, that can gradually reach 85 or 90%.
Such a mountain of possibilities for AI involvement in motor racing, a sport that's long been dependent on tech upgrades. Will AI become part of the new tech wave on the grid?
AI has got onto the grid with SenseTime's entry. I believe there will be more to come.
At
this stage, AI is best at making smart decisions.
Sports have proved to be a new area for that AI capability.
Tech and sport share the same spirit, where many things should be done to define the industry. We provided tech support for the past Asian Games and Winter Olympics. We also have technologies for the public sport. For example, AI can help analyze the shoot rate for a basketball player.
The companies also applied 3D motion capture technology with augmented reality effects in live table tennis broadcasts. With the cooperation with Zhou Guanyu's team, it's shown the world its ambition to get onto the fast track. Zhang Shixuan, ICS for CGTN, Shanghai.
For more discussions about the Chinese Grand Prix for the Formula One World Championship and its economic impact, we are joined by Mao Wei An, a sports writer for the F1 Championship. Hello there. So how will the return of F1 races to Shanghai drive the development of China's car racing and related industries?
Thanks for having me. Well, we just finished the first spring qualifying of the year, which
where Zhou just finished top 10, so which means he will start the sprint race of the first sprint race of the year in 10th position at his first ever home races, so which is very exciting, as we can see that just after sprint qualifying, every on the grandstand was quite exciting. And we know that F1 had come into Shanghai 20 years ago, when it back then it was only the Shanghai circuit. It's basically in somewhere nowhere. But now these days, you can see it's part of the giant Shanghai Auto City. Now you see it's the base of the local car manufacturer. They use the track even test. So I think economy is definitely a good boost. And also these days, when we talk about motorsport, actually not only about car making, and it's also about how we have the next generation of the engineers. So when you have a motor racing race in the region, so many fans, they tend to be engineer and they want to get into the STEM and in some related industry. So basically it will definitely boost for the whole industry of motorsport and the car.
Well, will hosting the races give a boost to the car industry and economy of the host city?
Yeah, I mean, F1 has been here for 20 years. Since the very beginning, Shanghai is always very welcome Formula One and the whole motorsport. We also had the World Enduring Championship in the past and some other series. Now, when you have the race, especially Formula One in Shanghai, you always can see some Chinese fans traveling from the other parts of Shanghai. They're traveling from the other parts of China and come to Shanghai. So, which basically they benefit for all the traveling industry, the hotels and all the restaurants in terms of economy. And I think also for Shanghai, it's very important to just show how important that the city is and how popular it is worldwide, because we always can see some tourists and F1 fans also coming from the other countries.
Thank you for the insights. It was Ma Weiyan, the sports writer for the F1 Championship. And that's going to do it for this edition of Global Business. I'm Xia Chengyu in Beijing. Thanks for being with us. I'll see you next time. Bye-bye.